What's good, buddy?
You ready? Good, man. I'm ready to do it, dude.
What the hell do you have on?
What?
What the hell is this shit?
This?
Yeah.
Oh, this is just the new chewy new blanket.
Look at that! Oh my god! You ain't got a chewy new blanket?
Yep. Check it out, dude.
It covers only one thing.
God, that's all I need. We're
gonna have a good show today, man.
It's gonna be a great show.
We got some good stuff to talk about before we jump into that. In particular, guests we have today.
Yep.
The quick announcement, we're gonna go straight to the podcast because we got some interesting stuff. We haven't seen him for almost about a year and a half, I believe. And so, three years. I'm being signed across here, but it's been 3 years. So, guys, here we go. You ready? You ready?
Let's do this.
Let's rock and roll. Stories, same dreams, touching hearts, cracking smiles, keep on clicking, let's connect. It's a podcast sound check from stories old and new, painted in every hue.
The voice is loud and clear, from whispering tales to the laughs we hold dear. Every click, every subscribe lights up another life. Podcasters unite, setting the airwaves alight. So hit that side.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast. Woo! Another live show in our beautiful little studio.
It's
a beautiful little studio, but we got something new and improved for you guys. Check this out.
You know what? I've always wanted to cover up those paintings because, goddamn, they're just hideous.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And soon they'll cover the whole whiteboard. But we're working on that, man. We're working on that.
We're working on it in payments.
We're on a payment plan.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in today or tonight. Last week, great show with El Cacahuate, man.
El Cacahuate.
Great character, man.
He's still steamed.
Yeah, he's still steamed. We had to literally put him in a backpack and take him out because he wanted to leave. But yeah. We took care of it in the long run.
Yeah, he was so upset.
Before I move on to anything else, guys, a couple of birthdays I got to announce. Big shout out to Ashley. She turns 5 years old tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Ashley.
5 years old. Good buddy of mine worked. Hey, can you do a favor? Can you do a shout out for my daughter? Well, yeah, man, I'll do a shout out for your daughter. Not a problem. Nice. Happy birthday. Ashley, five, baby. Yeah. That's good. Also,
happy birthday.
Also, a big shout out to my niece's husband, Cody. He turns 27 tomorrow.
Happy birthday,
all right,
Cody.
Buddy. Good, big fireman out in McAllen, Texas, man.
Nice.
Thank you for your services, brother.
He's a fan, right?
The show? Not really. But
never mind.
A big shout out to Device Repair Squad. Had a little situation on Wednesday morning.
Oh, man. Havoc ensued.
Well, my son kind of broke the screen on his iPad.
Yep.
So we had to have him work through it a little bit. We find him to understand that, you know what, we're going to take to these guys with Moises. Device Repair Squad located at 503 Hooks Avenue, Donna, Texas, 75537. Phone number 956-378-3745. These guys, man, great, great job.
Came in clutch.
She came in clutch, dude.
Yeah.
One day, 24-hour job, just like that, man. An awesome job, by the way. Thank you so much. Big shout out to those guys, man. Nothing but thumbs up for you guys. Great service, man.
You saved a man's life because he was not going to be able to go home.
You saved a family's life.
Yeah.
But anyways, guys, so let's get into the podcast today. Yes. Today, we haven't seen this gentleman for the past 3 years.
Who are you talking about, buddy?
I am talking about the Mr. Mateo El Mata.
El Matatán is back on the True and Who podcast.
There you go, man. Nice, Jesus. It's been a
Welcome
while,
back,
dude.
Man. Yes, Welcome back, man.
I think the Three last years. Time I saw Mateo was, we were getting interviewed in the Rock and Roll James. I think it was earlier this year that we were in the Rock and Roll James.
Oh, last year.
Was it last year?
Damn,
yeah,
it
was
last
dude,
year.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Sweet
yeah.
Jesus.
Time flew,
dude. That's my Alzheimer's kicking in. But, but yeah, man, I mean, well, it's great to have you back. Like we were talking before we started the show, Mandito El Cacahuate was giving you props, man, because he was like, he was proud of you, man. You doing your thing. You're venturing out, doing your thing. You're trying to get as far as you can with success as far as being a luchador or a wrestler. And as far as in the works, that we'll let you talk about that in a few minutes. But let's just take a step back, touch base where you're from, to this little backstory since it's been a while. Yes, so talk to us, man. Let's go.
All right, man. Well, shoot name. We'll break the fourth wall already. Shoot name. Okay. Matt Robledo, man. The guy that plays El Matatán, Matt Robledo. I'm from Santa Rosa, Texas, man. So, I mean, that's 20 minutes from here in the studio. I mean, small town, aquí en el Valle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I graduated Harlingen South. I mean, not South. My bad. I'm saying South because one of the kids that I used to mentor just graduated. He signed his LOI to play baseball at Arlington the Lake.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday. Wow. So okay. My mind's still there. But I graduated Harlingen High, Cardinals.
Okay.
So, yeah, man, I lived in the Valley all my life, born and raised in Santa Rosa. But, I mean, I've made San Antonio my second home in a way, too, because, I mean, I've been training there a lot with Ronnie Mack and Jazz. I've been there wrestling since 2021, man, since I started.
Really?
I was able to venture out. I was fortunate to venture out in December that year, I believe.
Wow, okay.
I was able to venture out. But, I mean, yeah, that's the backstory of – that's cool, man. I like that you actually asked, you know, the backstory about me because nobody wants to know about the guy that portrays El Matatán. They want to know Matatán.
Right.
No, I know Matt. You know, right. So I mean, this is pretty cool. I get to be Matt for once in a little bit.
So when you started off, as far as when the industry's down here in the RGB, went through the ropes, went through the ranks there, then eventually ventured off North Texas, right? Northwest or North East?
North, man. Well, actually, you know what? The entire Dallas metro territory, I've hit it.
Northeast.
I wrestle a lot. I'm a main contender right now for King of Sports Championship Wrestling. They're very old school 80s throwback.
Okay.
Man, they hit the towns, man. I mean, they hit the little towns. But awesome. They take you back, man. You you get to feel like you're one of the Von Erichs. You get to feel like you're Dusty Rhodes because I've hit – I think I want to say most of Northwest Dallas. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Then again, I didn't do good in geography, man, in high school. All right. So don't take my word for it. But,
what the hell? Who are you?
But I mean, I've hit the entire Dallas metro area, and man, it is so cool to be hitting those areas. And like I said, I've been out there touring with them since August of last year, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That was before I went to Florida for the first time in my career. But I've been hitting them since then. And, man, yeah, I love King of Sports. I mean, those guys, I can't put them over much. I mean, like, any more than what I can because their work speaks for themselves. They have the high-caliber talent. They have, you know, the venues. And they only hit the schools. But, man, those kids, those people,
the high school, the old school high school gyms. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You feel in the territories in a way.
Yeah.
And I love it because my style is very old school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can I turn it up a bit?
Yeah.
No, I can. I just haven't had to. I haven't want to do it yet. But I can turn it up. I'm a little bit more agile in the ring now.
Right.
But, man, I just love, you know, slowing down the pace, working the crowd. And, man, King of Sports let me do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's great with King of Sports.
As far as the following, I've seen that the following on your Facebook has increased more.
Yeah.
You have done a lot more little skits on there before you head out to where you're wrestling. Do you have a small fan base already growing out north of Texas now?
Oh, no, they hate me, dude. They don't like Matatán. They don't like Matatán. No.
Hey, so you'll be a heel either way, bro. You're going to have that fan base, bro.
Actually, deja tú, man. I remember I was wrestling in a town called Pittsburgh, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice gym, too. Now, it was a small, really small town, man. So I'm not to sound mean, right, to Pittsburgh, but I didn't expect for the gym to be as great as it was. And it was a nice, nice gym.
Well, there you go.
So I'm like, dude, and it was about 300 to 400 people there in the crowd.
Oh,
and I'm there, and I'm working this guy named Emilio Guzman. Shout out to Emilio because that guy, he reminds me a lot of Eddie Guerrero. And you'll know. If you search him up, he looks like Eddie. He's like Eddie reincarnated in a way, in a good way. And I had one of my best matches with him, man. A very old school classic, hard hitting. Crowd was electric, right? And I had them booing because I forgot what I said to Pittsburgh, but I shit talked the crowd, right? I just don't remember what I said.
Man, you got to.
I talk so much shit that I forget what I actually say sometimes. But I remember, though, after the show,
they're turning on the ring, and I'm out there helping out because, you know, you never stop paying your dues.
Right, right, right.
So I'm turning on the ring, and these kids come up to me and, hey, can I have your autograph, right? For me, I love to keep kayfabe. And it's weird because I'm 22. I'm going to be 23 next month.
Right, right.
And a lot of promoters tell me that, you know, it's really weird about you that you're keeping kayfabe still, because nowadays everybody knows, you know, that, right. You know, there's no such thing as kayfabe no more.
Right, right, right.
But I try to do it the best of my ability because I want to keep Matatan, Matatan. I don't want to say, hey, I'm Matatan for only an hour, and then, hey, I'm Matt the rest of the show.
Right, right, right.
You know, I want to, when you get Matatan, you're going to get Matatan the entire three, whatever hours we're there.
Right, right,
so
right.
I'm telling the kids, right? So this kid offered me his shoe to autograph.
There you go.
That was the craziest thing I've ever autographed.
There you go. There you go.
A dirty shoe.
A day. I'll take it.
It smelled, dude. No. And so
I'm like, the smell.
And I'm about to sign the shoe, and I'm like, oh, yeah, why should I sign your shoe? Can you? I'm like, no. You weren't you booing in Matatan earlier?
I'm going to cover.
And I was like, you know what? So I won that night. Right. And I was like, you know what? And Matatan's in a good mood. He's going to go smoke one of his amazing cigars, drink the best whiskey out there. He's in a good mood. I'm gonna sign your dirty shoe, but watch this thing, will you, kid? Damn.
yes, sir. And man, I wanted to pop right there. I turned around and I kind of bent my tongue a little bit because I was gonna pop, but I was like, I feel bad in a way. And right. I do feel, when it comes to kids, right? Like, I'm like, I feel bad.
But that's the cool thing about keeping the actual gimmick going.
Oh, man. He's gonna remember that interaction.
I remember this guy. I mean, it comes to the point where when you get into something successfully, go into something bigger, you know, to the bigger out of the Ring of Honor, and you're slowly climbing the ladder up there, you know, they're going to see that and go, dude, that's the guy who told me off. He says, wash my shoe. I'm never washing this shoe now. Man, who do you think he is?
I'm taking pictures. I don't know how. And like I said, I'm a heel, man. So the King of Sports are very big on kayfabe themselves. Mm-hmm. So I try my best, you know, to be a heel, not take the pictures. But then there's that thing in you, because I remember growing up, man, I would attend a lot of MLB games with my family when I was a kid. And I remember, you know, trying to ask a picture for an autograph and they blow you off. And it's like the worst feeling as a kid, right?
Right, right.
So I was telling myself, if I was ever in a position where I was at that level where if a kid wanted to take a picture or an autograph, mm-hmm. I would never refuse it. Now, if it's an adult shoving something in my face, that's totally different. I've had that happen before. Right. I hate it because I'm like, bro, back the hell up, man. And I hate it because sometimes they use their kids to go and get your autograph, and then they just want it themselves. So I'm like, dude, what the hell?
They're too proud, bro. Yeah. It's too proud. Yeah, I got you.
But when it comes to kids, I do feel bad at times because I'm like, So lately, I've been turning it down a slight bit in North Dallas because I'm like, I can't be. And they're like, maybe, like, I'm just assuming, like, 12, 13, somewhere around that area.
Right.
And then I coach kids that age too. So it's like, I don't want to be like that guy. So I was I'll play along and I'll take the pictures. I'll sign the autographs. But it's crazy, dude, that now that I'm talking about that, in North Dallas, when I wrestled here in the Valley, I didn't have any fans. Even when I was a heel. When I was a baby face for like, I think I was a baby for like 2 months. Uh-huh. Weirdest thing in my life. Right. I cannot be baby face. I didn't have
no fans.
I had no fans, man. Like, I don't know. I guess because at that time I wasn't confident. And if you look at my matches 3 years ago to now, you can tell just in the walk alone. Like, mm-hmm. I was, oh, man, I'm timid out there. I'm very scared.
You have that confidence when you go to the ring.
Yeah. So now it's so weird. In Florida, I got fans after a show coming up to me. In Florida, dude, this past time that I went back in August, September, mm-hmm. biggest crowd I've ever wrestled in front of, 1,200 packed out. There was 5 rows of chairs.
Right.
Hard cam, this side, this side, this side.
Right.
So you're looking maybe about 400 or 500 seated only. Right. The rest was standing.
Up in the back.
And I mean, I'm right, like the ring's right here and it's a mile long. I'm telling you from like my point of view, what I saw, it is a mile long.
Like, what the hell am I walking around to WrestleMania?
I shit you not, that's how I felt, man. And I was like, I can't believe like I'm here. You know, it's and then the crazy part, and I hope that this match never airs because I started tearing up in a ring. And this was the first time that's ever happened to me where I teared up in a ring because, you know, in Miami, where I was at, or Hialeah, it's a suburb of Miami, a lot of Puerto Rican, Dominicano, Cubano. So they heard, you know, from Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, instantly.
Yeah, hell yeah. Gotta go.
And, man, I'm going to tell a funny story on that right now.
All right.
I'll tell you this right now before I get to it.
All
right. So I walk out, man, and instant pop. and I'm looking at the crowd, and I'm going to high five, right? Because I'm a baby face here in Florida.
Right.
And this kid, I didn't see his shirt, but it was it's CCW. That's the company's name, CCW. Mm-hmm. And I'm high-fiving him. But, I mean, when you're there, you're in the moment. You're not really focused on what people are wearing, right? You're just there. Right, you know, you're working. But
right.
I'm going back to the ring, and he goes, Matatan. So I turn around, and he goes, he puts out his shirt. And I look, and he has a Dominican flag stitched.
Oh, shoot. Ooh, there you
on
go.
On the shirt. So I was like, damn, man. Like,
that's props right
that's
there.
That's dope. And I get in the ring, right? Oh, it was the first match of the night. I opened it up. The bell rings. Ding, ding, ding. Matatan.
Oh, shit. That's already hollering.
Dude, I instantly started going like, you know, breaking down because, dude, from where I'm from, Santa Rosa.
Right.
All the way 1,100 some miles down down by South Beach, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
1,200 people chanting your name, sold out, and that's my only third match there. But that, I guess they remembered me in a way.
Right, right.
Man, I couldn't feel. It was like, you know, people talk about those out of body experiences where you can see yourself.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
That's what it was for me, and I was just. Holy shit. That the ref was like, dude, like,
let's go.
Run, like, oh, yeah.
Wait.
Give me a minute. Yeah, exactly.
Dude. Let me have this moment.
No, but that's the funny part. No, here's the funny part on this. So, everybody knows that my kayfabe primo, okay, say kayfabe primo, Cha Cha Charlie, he's like John Cena in Florida. This dude is over like Rover. I mean, this guy is the guy in Florida, right?
Right.
So, I tagged with him once there. So people know me as like his cousin. We're not related whatsoever. Right. But it's weird because the boy, I remember the first time I got there in Florida last year, he's introducing me as his little cousin, right?
Right, right.
And we're just working. And then all of a sudden they just go, you know what? Yeah, he looks just like you. No, here's the funny part. That's the funny part. We look at each other like this on cue, which was weird. And it made it seem that we were related because we just go, like, fuck it, we'll roll with it.
Let's just go.
So the way they announced Cha-Cha Charlie, the way the announcers announce it, because he's the only Dominican wrestler in Florida right now.
Right.
They say, representing La República Dominicana from Hialeah, Florida. So as soon as they hear representing La República Dominicana, they know, oh, it's Cha-Cha Charlie.
Right.
They didn't know Matatan was going to be there that night opening up the show.
Right.
So my opponent goes out first, right? And I'm getting ready. I am amped up. I'm hearing the crowd. I'm feeling everything. I got goosebumps. I got everything. And then finally, and his opponent, representing La República Dominicana. Woo! Mirror. By way of Rio Grande Valley, Texas.
What?
Man, I started cracking up. Man, I started laughing my ass off with that. And I was like, oh. Then I said, Matatan, Matatan, Osuna. And then, pues, you guys know my theme song, Scarface. How it starts off that. I've never in my life had it go where the beat's starting to go and people are.
There you go. There you go.
Man, and that made me stop laughing and get back like, oh, it's serious. Okay. Like,
let's get into it right
here. This is dope. Yeah. And then I walked down and the pop happened. But that I'll never, ever forget that moment. My first time wrestling in front of 200 people, they were disappointed that I was not Cha-Cha Charlie. Best story I can tell.
I know you do have that. You were saying last time that you had the opening songs were different. But the one I sent you, you're like, dude. You got to give me this. He goes, you need to give me this. I have to work on it. I haven't worked on it yet.
I'm going to use that.
Did you really like the way it came together?
Yeah, I'm going to use that Kick of Sports, man. Like, that is an ultimate heel gimmick for me. Like, all theme song.
Bro, okay.
Like, that heel theme song is dope. And then, but it'll work out for me as a champion because I'm supposed to be wrestling for a Take to Fist championship. That's what it's called over there. My first ever, like, title contention that I can possibly win. So.
Right.
Man, I'm ready to end 2024 with the championship on my shoulders or even walk into January. I mean, start off January as a champion. But if and when I win that title, I'm definitely going to use that because, man, that's dope.
Quick question on top of that. I mean, when it comes to what you're out there in Florida right now, are you contracted by them? Are you signed? Or are you just – they call you when they need you? Or how does that work? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Did I hit a nerve?
We retract the question.
Yeah, we retract the question. I plead the fifth.
Next.
I plead the fifth.
No, because I mean, okay. I've always wanted to know that. I mean, because I mean, to the fact that you've been in northeast Texas, you went to Florida, wrestled over there. I'm like, man, this kid is jumping left and right. He's like a hotcake, man. He's like going and going. What's going on here? And now you were the last time we spoke was, like I said, during the Rock and Roll James podcast.
Yeah.
PBT, shout out to Rock and Roll James.
El Tio Rock.
You talked about something even bigger coming your way, which, I mean, I'm not sure you want to talk about that right now. If it's on the
movie?
Yeah, the movie
you were Dos doing. Golpes?
Yeah,
man, dude, that was an experience. And I spent a whole week in Florida filming. And hands down, I can see why actors are so grouchy most of the time. Why they're so like, man, because we were doing 12-hour shoots. Like, and there was one time where I had to do 16 hours myself.
All right.
So here's the thing, man. We got there on Monday, right? Or I flew in and I got there on Monday. And so they take us to the Airbnb, and I'm staying with all the production crew. So it's me, the director. Oh, excuse me. Budweiser's kicking in right now.
Shout out.
Sponsor. Wait, where's the hard cam? This one.
The one you're on right now, is that one? That one.
Budweiser Select, go ahead and sponsor El Matatán or Jack Daniels, whichever.
We know you're watching.
We know you're watching. It's there.
Yeah, so we... I was gonna say, yeah, so I got there on Monday. They got into the Airbnb. And all that. So we're getting all situated and everything. And then the next day we go and scope out the venue, which was going to be – it was some big, huge soccer stadium, dude. I think it might have been MLS. I'm not sure.
All right.
That we were filming in their locker rooms for a locker room scene. I'm trying to remember what I can and cannot say because I did sign an NDA, man. So I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, don't say too much. Yeah,
exactly. And then we went to the CCW training facility where Gang Grill was there and Jay Vidal was there, a former TNA star now because he just asked for his release.
Mm-hmm.
And I never met Gang Grill before. So he's there and I'm just like, oh, dude, it's Gang Grill. Like, cool. Hey, sir, Mateo Suda, nice to meet you.
And then, do you know who you are?
And so I'm going. And he goes.
Composure.
Yeah. And then he goes, hey, you got size, kid. Where are you from? Yeah, Texas, sir. Texas, huh? Okay, yeah, I've been there. Said, who are you trained by? Ronnie Mack and Jazz. Oh, man, they're great people. So I start talking. He's starting to up with me. And I'm just asking him for some advice, you know, and he gives me his advice. Oh, man, there I got to get advice from some of the best wrestlers, and I'll say all that later on. But, man, that was just so, so surreal to get that advice. And then I took a picture with Jay Vidal because I would see him a lot on TNA. So I was like, dude, it's Jay Vidal. And then he's like, hey, man, you know, how's it going? Nice to meet you, Jay Vidal. Super cool guy, super down to earth, and one of the best talent that TNA ever had. And Florida, he's killing it right now.
Right.
And then I found out he was on the show that I'm going to be on the weekend. So I was like, dude, I was on the same card. This is the crazy shit. I was on the same card as Jay Vidal, Curt Stallion, or Stallion Rogers now, who was in NXT.
Right.
Curt Stallion. Former NXT star Danny Burch, who is now Danny Briggs, and current AEW star QT Marshall.
Oh, shoot. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Nice.
Dude, that is a lineup that I never thought I would say that I'd be a part of, man.
Right.
So, anyways, we're scoping out the venues and everything. You know, Cha-Cha walks in, and we say, you know, me and him start chopping up. And then we say, like, hey, man, let's go to – this is where all the – we're right here. And then after parting with Cha-Cha Charlie, I started going down. I was tired.
That's usually what happens.
I call him Dominican Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. You know, all right.
This dude can party, man.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This dude can party. I mean, shit. He runs South Florida. Anyway, so he goes, hey, man, you want to go Hollywood Beach? I say, hell yeah, dude. I say, never been to Hollywood Beach. Let's go. So we hop in his car. Go to Hollywood Beach. I'm thinking we're going to be there for just a couple hours, right? And we'll take off. We get there at 2. Yeah, we didn't leave till 3 in the morning. So,
oh, shit.
Bar to bar.
Bar
drink after drink.
Right.
And we're enjoying the beach, man.
To be young again.
Dude, and I'm telling him, and I'm the one, because he's 39, 40, I'm 22, right?
Right.
I'm telling him, like, brother, we got to be up at 6 in the morning. It's 3:05. You think we should go home?
Don't worry about it.
We'll be there on time. Don't worry about it. I'm like, Cha-Cha, I gotta sleep, man. After this.
The young one is being the adult, dude.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I said, dude, in my head, I said, the roles are reversed right now, dog. This is tricky.
I'm the one with the morals here.
Nah, but he's just like that. He loves to party, man. He's super dope. And right. But he makes sure I have a great time in Florida. And that's why I love that dude. Because he takes care of me when I'm over there.
Right.
And then, so sure enough, we get home. I get back to the Airbnb around 3:30, 3:45. Everybody's knocked out when I walk in, and I'm the dummy that wakes up everybody like, oh, my bad. I'm a little tipsy from, you know, this Hollywood Beach. I wasn't drunk. I was just a little tipsy. And there you go. So sure enough, I get to bed. I'm just like, I'm going to regret this in the morning. Sure enough, 2 hours later, hey, Mateo, you got to wake up, man. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, but this is what made me mad, though. I didn't realize I had not a personal assistant, but what they call them? Production assistant. There it is.
Okay.
So they wake me up. Okay, man, we're going to start heading over there to start filming and all this, blah, blah, blah. We need to start shooting and, you know, this. So I'm like, okay, I'm already ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to take everything to my suitcase out with them. They go, oh, no, Mateo, your driver's going to be here. Your production assistant's going to be here in about an hour. And I go, so you're telling me y'all woke me up an hour earlier than what the hell? I said, I'm not starting off good. I'm tired, right? And I'm just like, bro, damn it. So I tried going back to sleep. I just couldn't because I was already ready. And I already had a Celsius in me and everything. So I was all like, I'm trying to fall asleep, but I'm just there like with my heart pounding. So I couldn't even fall asleep.
That's why you wear your sunglasses.
No. So the guy finally rolls up, right? And so we go to the... our first place we were shooting at.
Right.
And so all the cast is there except for Cha-Cha Charlie. And I remember Charlie, he calls me. He's like, yo, I'm going to be there. We're filming at 7. No. 7, 7:30, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, I'm getting a haircut. I'm like, what? Barber opens at 7. I was like, okay. But he has
a barber.
Yeah, he has his own.
There you go.
So he goes, yeah, man, just tell him I'll be there about 10 minutes late. Okay. 2 hours later, Charlie rolls in.
What's up, bitches?
I remember we were just there kicking, like, it was me and the other wrestlers. We were just like kicking back, like, and we were talking because I got to really form a cool bond with all these guys because some of them were trained by Devon Dudley. We're just changing stories back and forth, like, oh, so how's Coach Jazz? Oh, man, she's like this, you know, what about Devon, dude? Dude, Devon would do this with us. And so it was like super cool, man. Right. And then some of these guys had WWE tryouts, so we're just there talking about that, and just like, man, this is dope, man. Like, and the entire time I'm there, waiting on Charlie. I mess with Charlie because if he sees, he's gonna kill me.
We're no longer kin. We never were kin.
Yeah, exactly. He's my meal ticket.
No. So make sure we put that on the back reel.
As we're waiting, I'm just there, like, looking around. I'm like, dude, this is dope, man. I didn't think I would ever. I remember when they first contacted us to do the movie. It was when I told you it was Rock.
It was last year
and around this time, right?
Around this time, I think so.
And remember, they're like, oh, we're going to start filming the summer. And I would say, man, that's so far away, man. I can't believe it. And now it just it feels like yesterday. I barely got back from Florida from filming.
Right.
But it was the dopest experience ever, man, because it made me. The director did not want me to lose any weight.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I pushed myself because I'm like, I already look big on a regular fucking camera. Now you put those movie cameras on me, I can only imagine how much of a blimp I'm going to look like. So I lost 20 pounds. I went from 286 to about 266, 267.
Oh, okay.
Now I gained 10 back, but in muscle because I'm going back in 3 weeks.
Right.
And I'm wrestling for a West Side Gun show in Miami. I don't know if you guys know who West Side Gun is. They do a lot of the AEW SARS theme songs.
Oh, okay.
So Charlie just got finished with their show in Chicago, and he wrestled the real one, Enzo Amore.
Oh, shit. There you go.
And Enzo have been going back and forth for a while. Man, Charlie's wrestled him. Y'all remember Top Dollar? WWE? With Hedro?
I think so, man. It's been, like I said, it's been a while. Yeah. I mean, I still render once in a while on the actual WWE with the whole right now with the what's getting really really hot is the Bloodline thing going on, and the Bloodline going on, and also with the whole with Liv and Mommy that are going out neck and neck now. Raquel is back, and
hell yeah,
it's just,
man,
it's just going, man. Shout out to Raquel, we representing the RGB over there, man.
Oh, she's an inspiration. Yeah. She is. She really is.
But like really, really. trying to get back into it, you know. See. But you know, but slowly but surely, I'm trying to pick up all the names again.
he wrestled Enzo. He wrestled AJ Francis. He's wrestled. Remember No Way Jose?
Back, yes.
He wrestled No Way Jose. Man, he's done a lot. So I mean, that's the cool part, hanging out with Chatatu, just picking his brain and everything. He had like the best advice that anybody can give.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, yeah, so we're filming and we do this 12 hours, dude. And I'm just like, shit, I'm beat, man. Like after the first, I'm beat. And then to top it off, he goes, hey, man, you want to get a drink? I said, dude, not now, brother. Not now. But then he got me because he goes, we'll get Dominican food. Ah, shit, that's my weakness.
That's it. Let's go.
Dude, Florida has some of the best Dominican food ever. Yeah. And I wish Texas had some Dominican spots, man.
Nah.
Shit, I might open up my own restaurant here. There you go. Matatan's Mango.
Matatan's Lounge. Matatan's Cafe.
Anyway, but what's not about the filming part two is that they would make us tape ourselves, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And man, everybody know, wrestlers, we know that we can only handle that tape for about 2-3 hours max. Mm-hmm. 12 hours. And some wrestlers will pre-wrap them and then put the tape. Me, I raw dog it. And I just, you know, I just do the tape, right?
Right.
Every like 3-4 hours, I have to untape myself because my circulation was just my damn hands were going numb.
Right.
And then what I learned about too was this thing they called continuity. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Where basically, like, it means like whatever happened in the previous scene has got to look the same on the like the transitions or something like that.
Yeah, that's continuity.
So the cool part of the director, when the first time I went to Florida and I teamed up with Charlie in Miami, that night, it was just something in the air, man. And I think I said it on Rock's podcast too, that I just felt alive there and I felt like I belonged. So I put in Sharpie on my tape, "You belong." Mm-hmm. The director saw that and he's like, dude, your character in the movie is kind of just like you in real life. Very like, you know, humble, shy, anxiety driven. Right, and that's true. I do suffer from anxiety, man. Mm-hmm. And I think almost every wrestler does too before they hit the stage. And,
right, right.
So they had me with a Sharpie every 2 hours, man. Just by then I wouldn't even look by the fifth hour. Just like, okay, like I know. But like, I mean, like it was like that, man. But I realize now why movies take so long to make. Cause, like they, there's so much that they do. Yeah, man.
It's like repetitive of different scenes over and over until it gets down to the right.
Crazy.
Right we've talked to actors who film here in the RGV.
And yeah,
they pretty much said that it's essentially a hurry up and wait kind of situation.
Exactly.
In a way, yeah.
Exactly, man.
Because you are doing the same scene at different angles and different perspectives, you know, just to get the one good shot.
Yeah, dude, man, we would do like one take and then they would do like five extra ones, but like from this side, then this side, then this
different
side.
Angles.
This
side. Yeah.
And I'm just like, bruh, like it was good the first time. Like, damn it. And I'm tired. But like what killed me was the wrestling part. Cause there's a wrestling scene in there.
Right.
Cause the whole movie's about two Dominican brothers, which is me and Charlie. The young one, which is me, gets signed to the largest company in the world. And it's like, it's their last night together as a tag team. And so it was just all about, you know, jealousy, animosity between the two brothers.
Right, 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 right.
So there's a wrestling scene, right, obviously. The worst part with me was that I was taking the finish in the movie. Oh, crap, I shouldn't say that.
Well, we can say that. Anyways.
Well, I don't know. So anyways, I had to take a move, man. I had to take a move. I won't reveal what the move was.
Okay.
But man, it was – I've never taken that move in real life, so I practiced it. Like, I just did it, like, in one shot, and they liked it. But it hurt so much.
Right, right.
I had to take that move 20 times in a row.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Because they wanted to film it from different angles. Oh, man, it looks so good here, but let's get it right here. I'm just like –
well, now
so
you can put it in your arsenal.
I was taking it, dog. I wasn't giving it. I wish I was giving it.
I'm saying the person that knows how to do it, you can take it.
Oh, shit.
No, fuck no. After the 20th time, fuck that, man.
I was supposed to be like, you shitheads. Like, you come and do it then, man. Damn. Like, my body's hurt. Dude, I mean, like, I was hurting, right? And then, like – they would say that and then, okay, go for lunch, man. I was walking like and like I bumped more in that movie than I ever did in a match, which was crazy because we were just constantly redoing a lot. And then sometimes they didn't like a certain angle or somebody messed up. It was okay, back to square one.
Continuity. Your hand was pointing like this and that when you were getting flipped, so you gotta do that again.
That's legit how it goes. And that's legit how they said it to us.
Right.
Yep. So I'm just like, I remember telling him, I'm like, you better fucking do this. Whatever they have you do, just do it, bro. So just move on. Just do it, dog.
I'm fucking hungry.
Oh, that's why we're, we're all kind of grumpy towards the end. But man, but it was honestly, it was such a blast, man. The whole cast and crew was like super professional. They're out of Massachusetts. Some of them are from New York. Some of them are from Florida. And that was a cool part, too. You know, getting to meet so many people from the whole, you know, the whole United States.
Parts of the US.
Yeah, you had. I was the only guy from Texas, which was super cool. Oh yeah, Texas, New York, Florida, Boston, England. One girl was British. She was from England.
Nice.
And I forgot. I sound really bad because I'm bad with stuff, man. But I forgot what exactly she did in the movie. But I know she did play a key part.
We'll blame it on Tasha.
But she was a sweetheart, man. She was a sweetheart, and they all were. And it was so fun to work with them, dude. And this movie, I think, is going to be super cool. And I can't really reveal a lot, but I remember the director told us what we're sitting by the pool in the Airbnb, and we're out there having a cigar and everything. And he told us, hey, man, so there's this producer from, I don't know if it was Sony or something, but he's interested. And if when this finally premieres, the first one, if he likes what he sees, we're going to get a feature, which means we'll either get a TV series or a sequel to the movie, a 90-minute movie.
Right.
So we're just all like, dude, as soon as that happened, I immediately called my mom and dad. I'm like, hey, yes, it's going Hollywood. Nah, that's a stupid number.
Pick out the house that you want. Yeah, no problem.
Sell everything.
No, but I did.
Cut off family members you don't want.
But I did call them up, man. I was just like, no, man. And they were like, hey, you know, from the valley, because they go,
Exactly.
Puro perro. That's a poco. No, and I'm like, no.
When are you gonna mow the lawn?
Mete pa atrás,
la calaca. That's what they told me. Yeah, oh no, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool, dude. Hey, boss, when you're done over there, remember the lawn used, the yawn used. The lawn used to be mown, and I was like, yeah, man. But no, I'm like, don't kill my vibe, man. No, don't kill my vibe.
Oh, it was so heavy.
I just became a movie star, bro. Nah, that's all stupid.
No, that's.
I'm surprised my dad didn't say, ah, pues, que bueno, you can have a movie about mowing lawns. My dad's
I'll film it. We'll put credits and everything. Go, don't worry about it. That's a CGI.
I can't wait for this movie to come out for the valley to see. And I know they're going to do a private screening in Fort Lauderdale that they're flying me out to. Badass. And then they're going to do one in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So I can take my family out there to see it.
Cool.
And then I know we got our own link. They're going to send us like our own link to be able to view it whenever we want. So, I mean, every day I'm going to, what do y'all want to watch?
Texas, we have 15,000 views. What the hell? I think it's Mateo who's watching over and over again.
I'm just watching my part.
It always goes to 30 minutes and 28 seconds in.
That's done.
What the hell?
What's been the feedback about it, man? Like, have you heard anything?
No, not yet. Now he's releasing another movie called Friendsgiving. His name's Michael T, or I call him Mikey T, but his name's Michael T. You can follow him on Michael T Films or Kool-Aid Poppin' Poppy on Instagram. I love that fucking username. And I told him that.
That's a good wrestling name.
I said, dude, that is a dope ass like username. But
does he break through doors and they go, yeah, Kool-Aid?
He was working. He was real overwhelmed when he was filming with us because he had just finished two movies before filming with us. Mm-hmm. And then in the process of us filming, he was already having other people edit the other two so they could release. So this guy was just nonstop working, man. And like, I give credits to that guy because I don't know how. And they were stressed, and I can see why. Because I mean,
right?
We had like assistant directors, first AD. I remember all the terms, man.
It's there
like,
you
man.
Go.
That they were stressed out because they had to, man, they were keeping everybody in check, you know. So it was a stressful experience, but at the same time, it was super super fun, man. And all that stuff's gonna be worth it, dude. Just like, you know, everything else that's been happening that in my life that's been stressful,
right?
But it all plays out in the end, man. Because I always tell people, man, and people tell me, man, you always say the same thing, dude. Oh, you start in the backyard and now you're on the big stage. I'm like, no, dude, it's because a lot of people say that have had success. And I'm not saying that I've had a ton of success, but I've been blessed to be able to say I've had minimal success in what I do.
Right.
Everybody would tell you, you're going to probably only remember the bad stuff because that's what motivates you. That's what's going to linger in your head. Yes, you're going to remember that good timer there, but you're always going to remember where you started out. You're always going to remember where, you know, you had a fight from, you know, the bottom up. You're always going to remember when you were the underdog. And even now today, I still consider myself an underdog because I'm from the Valley, man. It's hard. It is so hard to get, you know, noticed here. And that's why, because I coach in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my boys, I said, because that's the one time I can be Coach Robledo, not
right.
And I tell them, I said, I don't want to talk about myself. I hate talking about myself. But look at me in a way. I'm from Santa Rosa, man. I'm 11 miles from you guys. I'm not going to say the name of the town, but
right.
I'm 11 miles from you guys. Who would have thought that guy from Santa Rosa, that fat kid growing up, was going to be El Matatán, making a movie, going to Florida, wrestling with these top dogs, man? Who would have thought?
Right.
You know, and people are like, oh, well, you got lucky. You got lucky, Mateo. That's the only reason. Oh, you just know who to talk to. You think, you know, it's luck. Man, nobody knows how many nights I've spent up just analyzing everything I've done. And I will break down my matches, man. And I'm there in my living room, on YouTube, on my TV. I'm taking notes.
Right.
Or I'm on my phone and I'm typing my notes if I don't want to write. Or I'm on my laptop and I'm making notes.
Right.
I'm analyzing my footwork. I'm analyzing my head movements, my body movement. I am analyzing everything to become the perfect wrestler. Because that's just me. I want to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll never be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always that itch in the back of my head, like, you can.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, so I tell them, like, I didn't get lucky, man. I had to work hard for this. I said, if you guys were there to see me when I was 18 in the backyard, I gave the speech,
right?
In the backyard, being told you're not going to go anywhere. You just, because you can't. You're too fat. You're too lazy. You're too slow. You're this. You're that. To 4 years later now at 22, being one of the only guys from the Valley, if not the only guy from the Valley, going all the way to the biggest company in the Northeast, the biggest independent company in the Northeast, mm-hmm. CCW. I'm the only guy in the Valley doing it. And I don't say that to sound cocky. I don't say sound, you know.
Well, it's confidence, like, man. Like, that's how you feel about yourself.
But I hope that the young guys here, well, I mean, I'm a young guy, right? But I mean, tenure-wise, in the business can say, you know, hey, he wrestled at Brewsome. I'm not going to deny that. You know, he wrestled in Brewsome. He wrestled in Mission. He wrestled in Harlingen. He's been where I've been at.
Right.
And now look at him. Hey, I'm going to do what he's doing, but I'm going to do it 2 times better.
Right.
That's what I want them to see.
Right.
I want them to see this, like, because everybody's portrayed this thing. I mean, I've said it on Rock too, mm-hmm. that, oh, Matatán's a cocky a-hole. Matatán, he thinks he's all that. One thing I saw was, oh, he lives the gimmick. He's an a-hole 24/7. He believes he's Matatán. I don't. I know when it's time to, it's like a switch in a way. And that's a stupid thing to say. And that is a really stupid thing to say for a wrestler. But I know when it's time to flip that switch to be a Matatán. And then it's time to be Matt Robledo. Right. When I'm with my kids coaching, I'm Coach Robledo. I'm Matt Robledo. I'm not Matatán. Because if I was Matatán, I'd probably be, you know, obviously teasing them, putting them down. That's what Matatán does.
Right.
I'm in the ring, though. Now that's Matatán mode. And I'm turned up to 100%. Ah, pues, you think you're chingón porque tú tienes Versace, tú tienes Tom Ford. Am I a Matatán mode or does Matt Robledo just really love Tom Ford and Versace? That, I don't know. We'll answer that another time, right? But my whole thing is that I think, and I've been told this by former WWE superstars, confidence scares people.
Yeah, it does.
Confidence is something so, when you've never experienced confidence, you never experienced success, it is a whole nother nature to you that you're terrified. So what do they do to you? They put you down. They try and take away your confidence because they want to bring you pa abajo con
él. Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to see you succeed.
Right. Gotcha. So
don't, I've been told, don't take this shit personally, man. You're going to have, they're like, if you cannot handle people from your home region talking about you, how are you going to, if you ever get signed, God willing, you get signed, how are you going to handle millions of people on TV shit talking you on Twitter or on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook?
That's true.
How can you do that when it was just 100 people? Now it's 1.2 million saying that you suck or that you're this, you're that.
Right.
Confidence scares people. But my whole thing is that I'm trying to give back to these guys in the Valley that see me. And I'm not going to say who they are, but I've had messages from some, man, that, you know, they wrestle here. And it's always, hey, man, how do you do it? hey, dude, so what did you do to do this? I'm not an asshole. I'll say, hey, brother, nice to meet you, Mateo. Here, man, I just work my ass off. You got to work your ass off. You got to leave the valley, too. That's the thing. Unless your goal is to be the best local guy ever, then, hey, man, by all means, stay here. Form your fan base. Get over. Do your thing. And you can become a great local guy. But if you're like me where you want to make this your full-time income, I don't want to do this and just say, yeah, man, I wrestle on the weekends. No, I'm going to go to Florida this time. No, I must party, wrestle one time. No, I want to say, I want to get signed. I have to see my name on a dotted line before I die.
Right.
I have to. Because if not, all this stuff that I've been doing is going to go down the drain for nothing.
Exactly.
And I can't do that. I cannot let it. So what did I have to do? As scary as it was, I had to leave the valley. People think that, oh, he left out of spite. He left because he just got a set of balls and he just took off. And he was – no. It took me 6 months, and that's not a lie. 6 months I was thinking about, do I stay? Do I go? Because I can either spread my wings and fly or I'm going to fall on my fucking face. Excuse the language, but I'm going to fall on my face. Mm-hmm. And a guy from the Valley who was a veteran here, I'm not going to say his name, but he texted me a while ago and he tells me, hey, man, I told you, because he's going to tell me you're either going to fly and soar through the sky, or you're going to fall on your face. And hey, you're soaring, dude. Keep it up. You know, so when I hear stuff like that, it motivates me and it lets me know I'm doing something right. People think, because what I post on social media, people are going to say, oh, Matatan's always posting the good stuff. No shit, you're only going to post the good stuff. Who's going to see the bad stuff? Exactly. But they don't understand that after you hit send, where are you? I'm in the gym. After I hit send, I got to go back to my sets. Mm-hmm. Or I'm in a study session. After I hit send, I got to go back to writing my notes. After I hit send, I'm on a plane and I'm thinking about what am I going to do? At Florida. And Florida is such a different monster, man. And it's terrifying in a way. And it really is. And it's terrifying in a good way. And I'll explain what I mean by that because it sounds ridiculous. It's terrifying because you know that down here, you're the big shark in the pond. Over there, you're the goldfish in the ocean.
Yeah, I got you.
How are you going to turn into a big, great white?
Exactly.
You got to work your ass off. Yeah. You got to get over. You got to have something that separates you. Mm-hmm. What separates me? This guy's my height. He's my build. How am I going to stand out?
I got you.
Yep.
We can throw the same punch, but who's going to look better?
Right.
Like, exactly. Like I get compared a lot to, besides The Rock, that thank God that's over now. But to Max Castellanos.
Okay.
Remember Max Castellanos is. And I love Max, man, because I even told him to his face before that I idolized him. When I was 16 years old and I was getting in the business and I was seeing that he was taking off, I want to go see Marcelo Hidalgo once and I told him, man, I want to be like you. Like, I want to wrestle. I want to be just like you. And mm-hmm. I told him to his face, I idolized him. The thing is, people notice that, man, you took a little change in your gimmick. You used to do what Max was. You were starting to do the cigars. You were starting to do the suits. What happened? I said, well, exactly what you said, man. He started doing it. And then he started taking it above what I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own cigar now. That's fucking cool. He has his own cigar. Like, that's unheard of. You know? So I said, how do I separate myself from Max? We have the same gimmick in a way.
Right.
Okay. He's 28, 29, maybe 30. He's one of those. I'm 22. Old money, new money.
Right, I got you.
Old money's going to have that mentality that he has. He has the expense of alcohol, the cigars, the women.
Right.
What's a new money guy going to have? Oh, he's going to show off his designer shit because he's young. He doesn't know how to spend his money. He's out there just buying whatever the hell he can.
You know? I got you.
So that's why Hello.
Yeah.
You separate yourself like that. He has a cigar. I'm 22 with a lot of money. Gimmick. Turn into a frat guy. What's the douchiest thing a guy can do? Vape.
Yeah.
I started vaping in my promos. He smokes cigars. I vape. And I got the designer stuff on. And it's showing that they're alike, but... Hey, he's different.
Right.
One, I'm Dominican. He's Mexican.
Right.
Two, I bet you if you were to write down a promo, we would deliver it bar for bar, word for word, but he would deliver it in his own way, and I would deliver it in my own way where you can say, oh, yeah, they're alike, but you can tell the difference in them.
Right,
And that's when I was told by AEW Superstar, that's what separates a good wrestler from a good worker.
Okay.
How do you get to be different? How do you get to separate yourself? And like Max has always been a dream match of mine, man. And I hope and I pray to God that one day
I got a feeling he'll be watching this and it's gonna happen. You gotta put it out. Don't worry, it's gonna be out there. I'm pretty sure.
I'm praying to God, man, because again, I still feel like that about Max. Where I do idolize Max, and that's speaking from the heart, man. Max has been honestly a pioneer in Texas wrestling, and man, if I could ever get to the success that he's gotten, I mean, I'd be blessed, but. Definitely, I would love to work with Max, dude, and that's a goal. Him, Brick Savage,
there you go,
those
man.
Guys, man. Those are the guys. Like in Florida, I want to work QT Marshall. I want to work Jay Vidal. I want to work this guy named Ozzy Killmeister. Cha Cha Charlie, I would just love to kick Cha Cha's ass for making me spend the nights over there.
Goddamn, that'd be personal.
That'd be personal, man.
Nah, I love Cha Cha, man. But that's the thing I'm trying to. Well, I've been trying to make people understand because a lot of fans in the Valley think, oh, Matatan left us. He hates us. He's this. It's not that. I've always said it was nothing. It was never been a personal thing. It's a business thing.
Right.
If you want to leave, you got to venture. Look at you guys. You guys left your old studio to come to a better studio because you guys want to branch out. You guys want to grow.
It's the same
thing, man. To me, the Valley will always have a place in my heart. And I miss the fans here. I do. I miss the fans here dearly. But at the same time, it's like, hey, you miss me too. Okay, I'm rushing to San Antonio. Drive, man. Drive.
Come see me, right?
Drive. You know, and then I've been asked too, you know, if I'm ever going to come back and wrestle.
Right.
There's something special I got that might happen in January. Fingers crossed.
We'll get to that right now because we got to pay some bills ourselves. And we want to branch out also. We got sponsors we got to talk about here, man.
We got bills to pay, man.
So here we go. Big shout out to the Rabbit Hole located in La Homa Road, north of Palmview, Texas. Area code 956-599-0103. They sell liquor, smoke, tattoo machines, and choose favorite adult novelties. Give them a call.
I love it there.
Because he's been buying all the shit, guys. You please.
But they're still going out of business, guys. Yeah. So.
You might want to get as much as you can.
Get there as soon as you can.
As far as I know, I think she's transforming to another business, but this right now she's trying to.
The rabbit hole itself is closing.
It's closing, but she's going to move on to something else. So,
yes.
So be in the lookout for something new coming up very soon. So big shout out also to Anonis Construction. Guys, great craftsmanship. Great company. Give these guys a call, 956-363-7195. I can't even say more about these guys because they've been busy left and right.
They've been getting a lot of calls in for new construction and also
commercial. Residential and commercial.
Residential and commercial.
And renovation also. Renovation for different buildings. But great company, man. Give them a call. Let them know Chewing Who sent you.
Certified. By the way, they're certified workers, so they're...
Yes, licensed. They are licensed. Yes, they are. Big shout-out also, guys, if you have not gone, Buzz Bull Creamery, located at 529 South Texas Boulevard, Westaco, Texas, 956-998-2541.
Liquor-infused ice cream.
Yes. Liquor-infused ice cream, Matatan.
Hello.
After the pot, I suggest you drive down the street, look for the Buzz Bull Creamery, get yourself a nice... brewed ice cream, liquor ice. Like you like whiskey, you like rum.
I love whiskey.
They'll infuse it for you.
They'll infuse it into any flavor of ice cream that you want.
Exactly.
Man. You might want to talk to Vinny. Let him know Chewing Who sent you.
Saved many lives during the. You know how it's still like it's still 104. You know, even though it's November, it's still 104 outside. You know, still saving people's lives.
It's my life. Big shout out to Triple J Plumbing, licensed plumbers, guys. If you want to call 956-854-9622 or Jerry at 956-478-5316. Guys, they are looking for new employees. They got more jobs. They need help. Give them a call. You got to know, have a little bit of knowledge of plumbing as far as getting certified. They will show you the right way how to get it. And then, at the meantime, you're trying to get your license. They will have you working on this job site so you can learn more of the stuff so you can take your test and pass it and be a licensed plumber yourself. They only do residential. Give them a call. Let them know. Chewing Who's a great, great couple of guys. Man, I always see them in the shop there where I work, and they're always constantly busy. So you might want to give them a call ASAP. And last but not least, guys, Milo's Kennel Corn.
Oh, Another hero of the show.
Oh, here. My gosh, dude. New sponsors of the show, guys. Extra Country, Extra Fun. If you've ever had Michael's Kettle Corn, this popcorn is to die for. Especially the street corn, street popcorn.
I am forever telling people about the street corn flavor. It literally tastes like
salty and sweet, actual flavored kettle corn, caramel. Name it. The guy does in great. Great popcorn, different flavors are so good, man.
It tastes like the corn. It tastes like the mayonnaise. It tastes like the seasoning,
dude.
The snozzberry tastes like snozzberry.
Even the marinada, the one we ate last time,
the marinada was delicious.
Amazing.
Yes,
I know they have a shop set up and a mercado in McCown, Texas, where the old Bargain Bazaar used to be on North 23rd. Mm-hmm. Head out there, talk to Milo, let them know Chewy News sent you.
They also do events too. Like if you have a particular event that you want, you know, hand out kettle corn,
yeah,
birthday parties, whatever, yes, what have you, they get in contact with them.
Yeah,
they can help you with that.
Yeah, get a hold of them on Facebook or on Instagram. They gladly help you. Like I said, let them know Chewy News sent you.
Absolutely.
So we're back with the Matatan, and we were talking about maybe a possible return to the RGV. Impossible or
implausible?
Implausible.
Is implausible a word?
It's impossible. I say possible.
You tell us, man. What's going on?
What's going on? Talk to us, man.
I can reveal a lot because it's still in the works.
Okay.
Wow.
Come on.
I don't want to know.
Well, shut up, man.
But what I can say is I'm not going to wrestle for a Valley promotion.
Okay.
Okay.
There might be somebody coming down that I know pretty well.
Really? So, looking for trouble? So, someone is just...
No. We're going to run... The goal is to run a good show here.
Okay.
I still in the works, still finalizing out a lot of stuff, but I pray to God that we can make it happen because, again, I would love to wrestle here one more time. I would love to come back to the Valley. Come back home. If it's for one night, man.
Right.
But just to come back home, you know, be able to see the fans. Because, I mean, a lot of fans are like, oh, man, we want to see you. Dude, we haven't seen you since. Yeah, you were a fat guy with a ponytail. And I was like, you were an asshole for making me remember.
I remember that guy.
Man,
he was fluffy.
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know what I was thinking, dude. That's when I first came out when I had the chubby face, the ponytail.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, what was I thinking when I had the ponytail on? But
the point is that you weren't thinking, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Dude. Hey, man, when you're young, I'm still young.
Yeah. Right. No. But you like, the when you're song. Young.
4 years ago, I was
just, I was only 17, but now I'm 22.
I didn't have a thought in my head. The reason I say I'm old because my kids always make me feel old, man. They'll tell me, Coach, you're old.
Yeah.
I'm 22. Yeah, you're old. This is what made me feel really old. I was in pre-K in 2018. I said, no, you weren't. I'm like, how old are you? I'm 11. And I start doing the math, and I'm like, dude. Yeah. I'm like, I was a sophomore in high school and you were in pre-K. He goes, yeah. And I'm just like, maybe I am old, man. God,
at least you don't get your son telling your dad you're old. You were born in the 1900s. I mean, come on. Getting that out. Get that. Try to beat that, dude.
Well, technically, that is true.
It is true, though.
That is technically true.
We're freaking old.
Oh, it's crazy because they use all these words. And I'm 22, and they make fun of me like, you don't know what sigma means? You don't know what alpha means? And I'm like, dude, like, no.
You know what cachetada means?
I'm Dominican, so we say cocotazo.
Cocotazo, yeah. The correct term.
Yes. Yeah.
The Mexicano say el chanclazo.
I know. We know. We got the chancla, too. We still got the changa, the hanger, los palitos.
The switch. Oh my god, I remember that when I was young, bro.
What switch?
The switch, man.
Yeah.
My grandma.
Oh, the switch? The
not,
game?
Not
the
that game? Switch, son.
this switch. This switch right there. We got the same thing as Mexico. We just add our own little flavor to it.
Yeah.
Quítate el mayo, coño.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude. It's ridiculous, man. Through the years, I mean, like I was telling you, the first time you came to the podcast 3 years ago, man, seeing the gimmick you were doing, the roles that you were playing on your short films, on your gimmick on the short films that you would do on Facebook, you can tell there is something there.
Appreciate that.
You see that. And I was talking to Big Boy Ro, we're talking about it a lot. He goes, this kid, man, it's there. I mean, we were like talking name me a couple of Dominican wrestlers that are out right now.
Right.
Really think about it. I go, right. Well, yeah, you know, you're kind of right. I go, think of the gimmick he's doing right now. I go, yeah, he has something there. I mean, it's there. It's just being to the point to work for it and getting there with it. You know what I mean? Now, to not have the diamond in the rough in the RGV right now, and now he's out running around, hell, doing honor one, drinking till 3 a.m. But
Not by choice.
Doing what you're doing right now, no disrespect to any of the wrestlers down here. Great group of guys. I've seen a couple of the matches, and they're amazing. Even the association from Mexico, they come across, yeah, and they do their shows over in South Padre Island, and I've seen the shows on Facebook and bits and clips. Thank you to El Cacahuate, man. You know, yeah. And like I said, he was on the show last week. I said before the beginning of the program, he gave you a lot of props, knowing that, you know, you got what you got down here, and you needed more, so you went and you chased it.
Yes, sir.
You went out and chased it, and he goes, and just look at him now. Look what he's doing now. Look what he's done. Stuff that, you know, some wrestlers would dream about doing, but they're afraid to make the jump to go out there.
If I could just, you know, interrupt for a minute. He's telling me the story and, all the stuff that's being thrown out there into the world about, you know, oh, he left and this and that.
Right.
I can't help but think of one of our guests, Valente Rodriguez.
Yes.
Hey, I love Valente, man. Yeah, Ernie, Ernie.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. He is so amazing.
I always wanted to meet him.
From the Valley.
Yeah.
He left to pursue.
Yeah, he did.
He left to pursue his dream of what he wanted to do. You know, he found something in himself that, you know, he wanted to pursue.
Right.
And he did. He was kind of successful about it. And, you know, sometimes he comes back. It's not that he forgot about, you know,
where he was from.
It's just his destiny was elsewhere.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, to equate that, oh, well, you know, you left forgetting about your past, that I don't think
he ever did. That's the thing.
No, he didn't. He still comes back. It's just he can't do it as much as he wanted to, because it's like I said, his fate is elsewhere.
Right, exactly.
And that happens to a lot of people, you know, whether it's, you know, a job working for a company, or, you know, you're trying to become, you know, a wrestling superstar, whatever it is. Sometimes fate just has other plans for you. It pulls you away. You're not forgetting where you're from.
Exactly.
It's just you're just growing and, you know, doing what you got to do to get to where you want to be.
Right, exactly. And then having him on the pod, man, that time we had him on here, fortunately the video had to come down because there were some copyright laws we had to take care of on that.
Yeah.
But it is on audio. You can listen to it on audio on Spotify. He mentioned a lot of great stuff as far as, like, you know, what it takes to get out there. There's going to be some sacrifices. There's going to be some letdowns. There's going to be people that are going to hate you along the way. The thing is that you have to keep in check with yourself and say, hey, do I really want to go out there and make myself big? Do I want to go out there and make it big? Yeah, I have to be focused on what people are going to get hurt along the way. People are going to get upset. People are going to hate you on the way.
Even if you're like you said, the local guy, you know, like, you know, famous locally, you're still going to get haters.
Yeah,
exactly. You're still going to be, you know, like people shitting on you, you know, because, oh, well, you forgot where you're from. You know, you're
right.
Like, I'm still here. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, and the whole point is having that severe confidence in yourself to get out there and get what you want.
Yep.
You know, there is that diamond ring that you want to get, and you're pursuing it, and you're not going to stop until you get it.
Yeah,
and so far, what have you told us from the last 3 years that we had you on to now? You're like, shit, man, this guy, this kid's on his way. And I say kid because he's young. He's to you and me. He's young. He's young, bro.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry, 24-year-old. Yeah, but,
I'm glad you mentioned the sacrifice, man. Because people don't know what, not just me, but everybody knows. Like my dad, I mentioned it on Rock's podcast. Mm-hmm. My dad's been with me literally side by side with me since I started out. Mm-hmm. We'll go together to Dallas. He has never gone with me to Florida, and he hates that he can't go, man, because of his job.
Right, right, right.
But I know if he could, he'd be there on that plane with me.
Right.
But, man, every time we go to Dallas, we're always talking. Like, usually when I was a kid, I would put my headphones on, and I would no one talk to him when I would ride, or anybody. I mean, every kid does that.
Right, right, right.
Now we'll drive 9-10 hours, and we'll just be talking about everything along the way. And that's one of the other reasons I love professional wrestling, because it got me closer to my dad, man, a lot. My dad's my best friend, and I owe every bit of success to him. Like, I called him that night again, and I said the same thing to him that I said when I first went to Florida. I said, damn, Dad. I said, this is paying off, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, one day I'm gonna pay you back. Something.
Right.
I said, and that's one of my main goals. I have three goals, but one of my main goals, if I were to get signed, God willing, is my first paycheck is going directly to him.
Right.
Because he didn't he's 55, he's gonna be 56. He doesn't have to be with me out there, but he chooses to go. And I tell him, like, Dad, he wants to go. And but at the same time, he's my biggest supporter, he's my biggest critic, man. He'll tell me, dude, that shit sucked. He's the first guy I was like, how was it? And he goes, no, you did this good, you know. No, here you got, like, I don't know, man. But like when I mentioned earlier, when I first started leaving the valley, I had no money to my name, man. And my dad was paying. As a man, it's going to be cute to say it, but at the same time, as a grateful son, I have no shame in saying that my dad was paying for everything. And I was just living. I was taking bookings on a dollar in a daydream. That's exactly how my bookings were when I first got to the valley.
Right.
No money to my name, just a daydream that I wanted to be somebody.
Right.
And he did it, man. He helped me along the way until I started making my own money. I started getting, now I got this job where, you know, I'm covering my expenses,
right,
now, but
exactly.
He's just tagging along with me.
Exactly.
And then, you know, he's always told me, he's like, because I hit up a lot of promotions, I'm not going to lie, because I want to work. I just want to work, man. I want to wrestle.
Right.
And he goes, man, I admire one thing about you is that you're not afraid of rejection. And we're just sure. And that's one of the things a lot of the guys down here, and it's not to shit on, I'm not shitting on anybody. And it's going to get taken out of context anyways, but I'm not shitting on anybody. A lot of the guys they're scared of rejection because people want to be told, oh, you're doing great. You're doing this outstanding. You're all this, you're this, you're everything in a bag of chips, like they say. But you're not getting told, well, you should do better. Why am I not getting booked? Why can I go and wrestle here?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'll ask a promoter, what are you looking for? What do you need to see out of me to be able to say, hey, you know what? You're worth your rate and bringing you in. We'll make it happen. You can ask any one of my coaches, any one of my mentors, Cha-Cha Charlie, AJ Farratt. When I ask QT Marshall, and I'm going to tell you his advice in a moment too, what he gave me. I always ask, what did you see that I didn't see? What could have I done better? How was this? I'll never say, so I did this good? Oh, so this looked good, right? No, I say, and even if they say, no, it looked solid. Okay, well, is there anything that I probably could have done to make it look even more crisp, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll say, no, you did fine. Or, oh, you know what, now that you mentioned it, do this, blah, blah, blah. But I'll always ask, what did I do wrong? What can I do to be better? How is my footwork?
Right.
How is my facial reaction? How's my body language? Are my strikes good? Am I doing this? Am I working the crowd enough?
Mm-hmm.
I have to know what I'm doing wrong. Don't tell me what I'm doing good. I don't want to hear what I'm doing good. I want to hear what I'm doing wrong, because I'm going to go back home and I'm going to analyze what you're telling me to work on. And that's all I'm going to think about for my next show, to nail that down. And then it's like, repeat yourself. Okay, well, what did you see that I didn't do right or whatever? Like in Florida, when I put up the show at 1,200 people, the nerd, like I said, I was already emotional enough. So I botched the leapfrog. Basic wrestling move, and I botched it, right? It wasn't like a super bad one, but I don't think I caught enough air, and I clipped him, and I landed really bad on my shoulder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So QT Marshall was there, and Cha-Cha was over there like, dude, go talk to QT, go talk to QT. And I'm like, well, he's talking with somebody else, man. And I won't be that guy that's going to show up and just like, hey. You know, because I hate that. Because my kids will do that to me, and I'm like, hey, I'm having a conversation, man, relax. Right. Oh, but. I'm like, well, okay, relax. But I don't want to be like that guy that just has no manners and, you know, just goes and does that. So I waited. And even then, when he was available, I have Twitter, I have everything. So I would see that, oh, Keaton Marshall is just this bad guy. He's in the back. He's super rude. He's arrogant, blah, blah. So I was all like, I was on the edge of yes or no. But then I told myself, the worst thing he can do is blow you off.
Right.
But you'll never know what advice he has to offer if he does talk to you.
Yeah,
so do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? So I said, I'm already here. Who knows when I'm ever going to see him again? Do it. So I go and talk to him. Nicest guy in the world, man. Super cool. So knowledgeable. So knowledgeable. QT Marshall is a genius when it comes to wrestling. And remember he told me, he's like, how often do you work babyface, man? I said, I don't work baby, man. He goes, you can tell. Like, he goes, he goes, you can tell because you're a little lost out there when you're a baby face, man. He's like, you're mainly a heel. I said, yes, sir, I'm mainly a heel. Ah, oh, you ain't got to sir me, man. And I was sirring everybody, so, but right. They told me, like, don't sir me, dude. Like, so I was like, okay, my bad.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, but then I did that too. I said, sorry, sir. So, and then he told me,
didn't I just tell you?
And then he tells me, he goes, as a baby face, Mateo, you don't necessarily have to be super good at wrestling. You need to have energy. That crowd needs to feel you. Mm. You botch a leapfrog, fuck it. Do them up and over instead. But you got to make the fans feel you. You got to look into their eyes. You got to be able to send a message to them with your face without right. saying a word, with your body. Anybody can teach you how to be a good wrestler, but nobody can teach you how to bring energy. That's right. all on you.
Right,
that's how you become a good baby face. I was all like, damn, what a genius. And I was like, and it stuck with me till this day where in 3 weeks I'm going back. I'm a baby face. Now I know, bring the fucking energy.
Right.
Don't overdo anything. Don't try and overthink. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bring your energy. Do what you know what to do, but bring that damn energy where those fans are gonna feel
it. There you go, man.
So I got to talk with him. I got to talk with Stanley Rogers, another Texas guy. And he goes, I'm going to try to do his Texas accent as best as I can because he has a West Texas accent. So he goes,
there you go.
He goes, oh, man, so you're from Texas too? Si, senor? No.
Si.
So you're senor? No. And I'm like, yes, sir, but I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. Ah, Rio Grande Valley. Okay. Hey, man, good to see another Texan up here killing it up here. So I was all like, damn, dude, like, I'm getting up to it. Like,
right.
I'm telling you, man, like, there in the moment, my face will show, like, I'm just there to learn. On the inside, it's like, I watched this guy in 2017 on NXT.
Right.
I got to hang out. Oh, and I'll tell you this cool-ass story, too. I'm like, I'm going to get advice from a guy I saw on TV, just like I did with Alberto Del Rio last year.
Right.
And I saw him beat John Cena for the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to get advice from him one-on-one right here. And I'm just like, dude, who would have thought, man, that a kid from Santa Rosa would be there? And I go, repeating myself again. But it's like I said, man, you just... It's hard to believe
for me.
It doesn't feel real to me. You know, it almost like I feel like I don't deserve it sometimes. And so I'm getting his advice. He's telling me. And then I go to Danny Briggs, sorry, because he's going to kick my ass.
There you go.
And he's a legit tough Brit, man. Like, he scares the living shit out of me. That's the one guy, I don't care if you tell me to not call him sir, I'm going to call him sir, because I have too much respect for that guy. He tells me, oi, you got to come over here. You got to give him a headlock. Take that fucker down. And I'm like, okay, take that fucker down. No. And then he goes, man, we're talking about, I'm in a locker room. And I feel like an asset. I feel like almost like a nepo baby on that one because all the other workers are up there. Because the way it was in that brewery, it was two levels. The up level with all the other wrestlers. And then it was like a basement private locker room for like the main event guys.
Right.
So naturally, I'm gonna go get a chair or find a chair and where the other guys are at. And Chadar goes, no, come with me, dude. Are you sure? Yeah, come with me. I'm not gonna get heat, bro. I'm like, I'm just my first time in this venue. I'm gonna get your ass over here. And I was all right, fine. I'm there. It's me, Cha Cha Charlie, Danny Briggs, Kurt Stallion, Jay Vidal. Do you guys remember who Billy Alfonso was in ECW?
Oh man, that's
no, the manager.
Yeah. Okay.
Legend in Florida is there. Here's a funny story with you. He's talking, right, with some other guy, and Chadra goes, hey, go introduce yourself to Fonzie, man. Hurry up. You gotta introduce yourself to him. I said, well, he's talking, bro. Like, trying to give me heat, man. He's trying to give me heat. So he finishes up the conversation, but his back's turned to me, so Chadra just gives me the I'm like, going, dog, I'm going.
Stand up.
So he leaves the room. Yeah. So he leaves the room and I go, Mr. Alfonso, who's that? Mateo, sir. Mateo, sir. I'm Cha-Cha Charlie's cousin. Nice to meet you. Oh, shit. You're Cha-Cha's cousin? Where are you from, kid? Texas, sir. Daxus, the fuck you doing over here? I'm working at night, sir. And then he goes, he looks at me up and down, he goes, you know what? I see a lot of cha-cha, you kid. Boom! And I just went,
thank you, sir.
And I was like, thank you, sir. And he goes, good to see you around, kid. I'll be looking forward to seeing you more around. You got a good height, you got a good build. What's your name again? I said, Mateo. Mateo. You're tall. Good shot. Thank you, sir. Priest shook his hand. He walks out, and I'm just like, yeah, I just got shot by Billy Alfonso, dog. Yeah. But I was like, I'm not gonna lie. There's sometimes where I try to carry myself maturely, right? And I because I'm 22. Right. And even Chacho was telling me this, man. He's like, because I remember I was venting to him one night, and I'm not afraid to say this out here. I was like, man, I don't understand why I'm not getting booked in Texas a lot. Like, I'm only wrestling in North Dallas, and don't get me wrong, I love it there, but I don't know, man. It's weird to me how I can get booked in Florida, and I'm working in Florida, but I can't get booked in my home state, in San Antonio, in Houston, in El Paso, Corpus. I'm like, what? I don't understand. And he goes, it's your age, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you think so? He goes, dude, I'll tell you right now, if I was a promoter and you told me your age, I wouldn't fucking trust you with anything because you're young. You don't know shit yet.
Right.
You might know how to work. And he's like, you know how to work, but to them, you're still 22. You're not old enough to be given a position in their eyes.
Right, right, right.
He goes, that's why they're not booking your ass.
No.
He's like, take advantage of those that are putting their trust in you,
yeah,
and they are booking you, and prove them that they made the right choice.
He goes,
here in Florida, you're marketable. Stay marketable. Keep on proving to us that you're marketable.
Right, right.
And they're going to keep on bringing you in, man. So,
you go.
Let's get it. And I'm pretty sure it'll happen. In 2025, I'll be wrestling a lot more in Florida, man.
There you go, man.
CCW.
Yeah, and there you go.
Yeah. So, let's get it. In January, I'll be starting off with the bang. I'll be joining my other mentor, AJ Ferrat, up in Puerto Rico. So I'll be international.
Okay. All right, cool.
I'll be international.
Cool, nice.
So I just got to finish talking with him about that. But see, let's get it. Like I said, fingers crossed. I'm at the time to go international, man, in January, Puerto Rico.
There you go, man. Badass. We are an hour and 16 minutes in, man.
Oh, dude, this is a good one.
We are rolling. We're like way past our bedtime.
Dude, I gotta go to bed. It's like, oh my god!
I gotta be up
in like an hour, dude.
Now I'm gonna cha-cha try you guys. Nah, y'all
no,
stay out
no,
here.
We're gonna be the mature ones now. But no, man. First of all, I want to say thank you, bro.
No, thank you
for
brother.
Coming out.
Thank you, brother.
Play with us again after 3 years.
You.
Hopefully, we get you back soon again in the next 2 years to see where you're at again, or see the following year.
Hell yeah.
Social media is that all your friends can reach out and look for you, boss. Go ahead.
So Instagram is at official Matatan. Facebook is Mateo Osuna. Tinder. No, I'm joking. No, you'd be surprised. I get a lot of those questions of used gear, and I'm just like, dude, and they offer the money, and I'm like,
okay.
I could use new gear, but
how much for
No, never mind.
What do I know? It's okay. I think we'll pass on that question. But Mateo, all nothing but blessings to you, man.
Oh,
on the road,
continued success,
yeah,
man.
Bro.
You're killing
it. Keep pushing it for you guys, man.
Thank you so much.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Thank you
keep
so
it
much,
up,
thank
man.
You, brother.
Like I said, you are more than welcome to come back again when you have anything big, anything bigger than what you have right now.
Appreciate that,
but
man. Thank you.
Come on back. Let us know. Hit us up. Any future events you got wrestling in town or in the state of Texas or in Florida, shoot it to us. We'll put it on our Facebook page.
Okay, y'all
so we can go get it on there.
I'm gonna blow up
y'all's
phone.
Blow it up. But once again, thank you so much, man.
And
nothing but success to you, brother.
Thank you, boss. Continue doing what you're doing, all right?
God bless, man. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for the night.
Fantastic show, man.
Man, you look like you're sleepy already, bro.
I am sleepy. Oh my God, it's so late.
He's such a dumbass.
I should have been in bed like an hour ago, dude.
Well, next week, here's a doozy for you.
Yeah.
We have a back-to-back show next week on Tuesday and Thursday.
I'm going to have COVID next week. So
we are going to have back-to-back Tuesday and Thursday. Uh-huh. Only reason why is that Thanksgiving week, we are taking a little vacation, guys. Yeah. Spend time with our family. So, it's going to be good. The next episodes are going to be great. Stay tuned. I will be posting those up. I know I'll be posting commercials left and right, but I keep forgetting, man, because it gets a little hectic after a while. So.
Plus, you're stupid.
Yeah, that too. Well, that's a must. Yeah. But anyways, guys, big shout out to Ashley and Cody for their birthdays. And also, don't forget, guys.
Happy birthday, guys.
Device Repair Squad in Donna, Texas. Give them a call. Let them know Chewy News sent you. Any last words, everybody?
Oh, keep an eye out for our blanket.
Oh, yeah, the blanket. The blanket, yes. Be on the lookout for the blanket. It should be good. We'll let you know when any new blankets
come.
Yeah, some will be a little bit, but we'll let you know when they do go on sale.
Absolutely.
I think that's it for the night. Sign us out.
Yeah. I've been Chew.
And I am Rue. We will see you next week, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. We will see you. Ladies, guys.
Night, everybody. Chew the scene, discussing all, no in between. To cool, we flip the script with every tale from every lip.